You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly catch-up with National Party MP James Meagher.
Welcome back to The Wire. This past week, Associate Health Minister Casey Costello announced a batch of legislation aimed at reducing the prevalence of vaping amongst young people. These changes include a ban on disposable vapes and increased fines for those selling vapes to underage buyers. Additionally, recent changes around disability funding eligibility have been criticised by many for removing access to essential services or leisure activities. I chat to James Meagher about the new vaping legislation and the possible consequences for young people, along with the funding criteria changes and how they may affect disabled people and their carers. I'm just going to start off with the government's planned legislation to control vaping amongst young people. Could you go into the proposed changes a little bit?
Yeah, so just to start with, we think that vaping is an important tool to help smokers quit, but there's a lot of concern around the uptake of it amongst young people. Now, it is currently illegal for under 18s to purchase vapes and to sell them, so one of the big changes that we're making is to increase the maximum fine for retailers who are selling to underage children from $10,000 to $100,000, and hopefully that will create quite a large deterrence from providing vapes to young people. And then there will be some other new rules around regulations to clarify maximum nicotine levels and flavour limits and sort of restrictions on the kinds of images and cartoons you can pull on them. Just to make it clear that these are smoking cessation tools and things to help people get off tobacco rather than as a way to market to children.
Does the government think these changes will completely address the issue, or do we think there'll be a need for more legislation in the future?
Look, it's a step in the right direction, I think, and we'll take it, you know, month by month. And if there's a need to continue restricting it in the future, then we're always happy to look at that. But we think increasing the penalties and just changing some of those incentives will go some way. Ultimately, we do want to keep vaping available because it is less harmful than smoking, and any way we can reduce the smoking rates is a good thing, but we also don't want to encourage it as a new way of getting young people hooked on nicotine.
While this legislation is aiming to reduce the accessibility of vapes for young people, a lot of young people are already vaping, with a 2022 Action for Smoke-Free report finding that over 10% of Year 10 students vape daily. With that larger group of students vaping and the accessibility of vapes reducing, is there any consideration going towards further supporting these students to get over addiction and potentially manage withdrawal symptoms?
Yeah, so there's nothing in the legislation, but of course there's all the smoking cessation support available through health and through schools anyway. So anything that is available to help young people get off smoking and nicotine addictions will also be available. But this legislation itself won't do anything to expand that. And look, we recognise that young people are always going to, experiment, and they're always going to try things new. We just want to make sure that they're making the best decisions that they can and that we're supporting them to lead, I guess, happy, healthy lives rather than wandering around getting hooked on substances.
One of the main reasons touted against Labor's proposed smoke-free legislation was that reduced availability or accessibility of cigarettes and increased prices could increase crime and risk to sellers. Could this legislation restricting vape accessibility pose a similar risk?
Oh, it's already restricting it to under 18s. So I'm not sure, because in theory the market for it should already be zero, because you're already not allowed to sell to under 18s. So I'm not too sure that argument holds in the same way that it might do for cigarettes.
I guess with the ban on disposable vapes, which are obviously the cheaper option, there could be reduced accessibility, not just for young people, but also for older members of the population.
Yeah, that's fair, and I think it's that balancing act between how much pressure you want to put on discouraging young people from accessing them, and obviously disposables, because they are cheaper and they're more readily available, and you know they're disposable, so they are by design meant to be bought and thrown away, and there's a bit more of an investment that's needed into a permanent vape. So look, I think it's a fair point, and it's something that we'll certainly keep an eye on, because those concerns that you raised around increased retail crime could well hold for this too. So it is something we're keeping an eye on.
Moving on to the recent changes to the funding eligibility around disability support, could you provide a little detail on what the changes to the eligibility are?
Yeah, so we need to have a bit of a clarification on that. So there's been no reduction in the funding available. So the funding that was made available under the previous government is still in place. And Budget 2024, which is coming out in May, I think the Minister has already signalled that we are looking to increase the amount available for frontline services. What has been changed is that during COVID, some of the criteria around what the funding could be used for was loosened a bit, just to make it a bit easier for people to get around and to spend when everything was locked down during COVID at a time of particular stress. And so that expanded the criteria for carers and for people assisting disabled people to go out and get things. And I think I've read stories around manicures and holidays and massages and things like that. Now, some of that stuff will be legitimate. Some of that stuff is needed to help people through a very, very difficult job and a valuable job they do. But we are looking now to make sure that we prioritise that funding directly on disabled people and their families themselves. So it's just about resetting that criteria.
You mentioned the use of this funding to support manicures and other leisure activities. Are we telling these people by changing the funding criteria that they can't engage in these leisure activities?
No, because of course they are still paid. And they're more than entitled to go out and do any of these things with their regular pay. What we're trying to say is that the funding set aside to support those with disabilities, we want to be focused on directly helping them. And that would include things like, you know, more funding investment in noise cancelling headphones for children with autism, or perhaps iPads to support children with sensory needs, transport for disabled people and their support workers. Some of the more direct, tangible things that we can use to help people, because we are operating in a pretty constrained financial environment, and we have to make some relatively, tough decisions on where we best spend our resources. And we think that at the moment, we'd rather spend our resources directly on disabled individuals and their families and their carers, and maybe just tighten the criteria. But of course, workers and supporters are perfectly entitled to spend their own money and income in any way that they see fit, and we would support them taking care of themselves as much as possible. They do a fantastic job for our community.
That was the National Party's James Meagher speaking to me about proposed vaping legislation and changes to disability funding eligibility.
That was our catch-up with National Party MP James Meagher.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.